skin. Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.
Welcome to the Wealth Money Radio Show. Brought to you by WealthMoney.org. Byron Dale and Greg Soderbergh are your hosts. This is the only program that addresses the destructive consequences of using a debt money system. Financial slavery is the result when all money is created and put into circulation through loans. How interest grows the debt, but not the money supply, and the effects that interest and debt has on our lives. If you would like to join the program and have a question or a comment, please call 347-884-9499. That's 347-884-9499. And now your hosts, Byron Dale and Greg Soderbergh.
What do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.
You know, Tennessee Ernie Ford, he may have owed his soul to the company store, but more than that, like the rest of us, he owed his soul to the money-creating banking industry. And like most today, he didn't know it. Welcome to Wealth Money Radio. It's Saturday morning, 10 o'clock Central Standard Time, our usual time, May 25th, Memorial Weekend. I'm Gregory K. Soderbergh. I'm here with Byron Dale. Wealth Money Radio is about what we use for money, how it's created and put into circulation, how that affects our lives, why newly created money must again be spent, not lent into circulation, and the American Transportation Act is the solution in legislative form. If you want to read it, print a copy, or save the PDF file so you can email it all over America, go to wealthmoney.org, click on the blue slide that says American Transportation Act, and you'll have what you need. So call in. Let's talk about money and the future. The number is 346-884-9499. Good morning, Byron. How are you today?
I'm good, and Nori's here, so we're going to talk to him for a few minutes and see what he's up to. Then I want to go into explaining the difference between debt-based money and a wealth-based money. What's the difference in and a few things like that.
All right.
Okay, Nori, how are you this morning?
Good. How are you doing, Byron?
Oh, I'm doing good.
How are you doing, Greg?
What have you been up to lately?
I've been calling my congressman and putting lots of pressure on to introduce the American Transportation Act in the House of Representatives. I told his aide that if he doesn't introduce it as soon as possible, I won't vote for him in the election day of 2020.
Well, that's what we all need to do.
Yep.
Let him know. Call your congressman.
And I also called my two
senators.
Yeah,
more people need to do that.
I also called my two senators, and I demanded action on the American Transportation Act, and I'm hoping if Congressman Tom Malinowski doesn't introduce the bill, I'm hoping one of them will.
Well, we hope so. And now I think we're going to talk some about money and the difference between a wealth-based money and a debt-based money. And the first thing, what actually is money, and why do we have money, and is there any real definitions of money, legal definitions of money? Do you have any of those answers, Greg?
I don't know. I like to use the word medium of exchange because historically we've used various things to exchange, and everything we exchange comes from what we produce. The word money is getting kind of worn out to me. Because it's, it seems to, everybody wants to define it, but I like to just call it a medium of exchange. And, you know, Byron, they've used wampum and beads and shells and silver and gold and paper, and it goes on and on, all different stuff for a medium of exchange. And so I think, you know, that thing, if you want to call it money or medium exchange, has to represent what we produce. That's what I think.
Okay, so I agree with you, and I think that's a good definition of money, is a medium exchange. It makes it much easier to buy and sell things and to have things instead of having to constantly come up with something that somebody else wants in order to make a monetary transaction. And so money basically then is to make it, the whole concept of money is to make it easier for people to give and take in the economy, I mean, to buy and sell and to do things. Okay, now the next thing is, what should money represent? I mean, what's the whole concept? If money is used to make exchanges so you and I can buy things we need, buy food, and because no longer everybody, they don't produce their own food and all these things like we used to do, you know, a century ago, most everybody did. And hardly anybody does now. In fact, you see more and more in the stores, not just the raw products to sell, but packaged, so you can go in and you buy your meal and it's all made and everything. All you have to do is open it up and eat it. And so we need now to put a little real thinking about, okay, now, what is the difference between how that money is created and put into circulation? How is that done and how should it be done?
Well, I like to think about it going back to the medium exchange and what we produce. And before life got really complicated with money, when life was a bit more simpler, everything that we had, people produced. They produced it with their labor and raw resources. Let's say, keep it real simple, let's say you produce tomatoes in your garden, you know, you put a seed in the ground and you get more fruit from that one seed and you have an increase. And now you could take that out and you'd probably keep some of the tomatoes to eat yourself, which if you had extra, you might go out and try to find somebody who wanted them in exchange for something else that you wanted that you didn't have time to produce. And all that activity was pretty much done freely. You know, your labor and raw resources combined and you produced wealth, and that's what the money should be represent too, is should represent wealth. It would should represent something created freely and that you can exchange freely. And that's what I think.
Okay, so now let's think about that a little bit, because what if we're going to have money that's created, and it's obviously, it doesn't make sense that everybody would create their own money, because you'd have so different many kinds of different money. And so to make money uniform, what would be the best way, and who should do that? Who should create a medium exchange that would be beneficial to all society in a way that would treat basically everybody the same? Now, how would that be done and who we should do it?
Well, I think I should be the one that does it.
Well, I disagree with you because I don't think you should be the one that should do it. So, now, because I think I should be the one that should do it, I could see a lot of benefits to it. But now we've gotten into a whole different area, because now we're talking about who individually might benefit from creating money. But the concept is, we don't want, money should not be a private profit for anybody. So who could possibly do that in a way that would benefit everybody that would not be a personal profit to anybody?
Well, I think if we're going to live together with some sort of peace and tranquility, we probably need some sort of governance that provides what you're talking about. It should be the governing duty to facilitate the creation of money and putting it into circulation.
Okay, so now we go back a few years ago, several, a couple of centuries, And all these people come flooding to America because they thought there was a lot of free land here. Now, they didn't stop to think that there's already a lot of people living here, but they just didn't consider them to be anything, which is kind of a crude, unbelievable thing that they would actually believe that. But we kind of see it today, too. Everybody's blaming everybody for something else, but nobody stops and think about, well, what do we really need to do to address our problems? And you see it all the time. There's never much money to do this or that. And we have what is supposed to be our founding fathers after they got free from the English control. They wanted to set up a new government. So they did a lot of research and study on it. And they did, and then they said, well, we will write a constitution, and we will set forth the purposes of what we're trying to accomplish. And it was very clear what it was, the peace and security for the people, and, you know, so everybody could have equal rights. And equal rights can only mean one thing, and that means that law has to be applied equally to everybody. But we see that isn't true because just the other day, as I understand it, the Minnesota legislators created a bill that nobody can have a hold their phone and talk. But the Muslim women can do it because they have a headband or head thing that they can shove that into and they don't have to hold it with their hand. But they're doing the exact same thing. They're talking on the phone all the time while they're driving. And I don't know for sure, but it seems to me like it's pretty logical that they, like everybody else, would have to pick their phone up and dial it or have some other way electronically that they could call and then shut the phones off without touching them, but they'd still have to pick it up and put it in their headband. Now, we definitely have a law there that doesn't apply to everybody equally. So, see, these are the things that we need to look at. So now we get back to the Constitution, and it says two things, that Congress can borrow money and Congress shall coin their own money, shall coin money. Now, you see a lot of talk about that because so many people, they say, well, at the same time, well, we got to go to Article 1, Section 10, where they talk about how the states could do it. And the states were prohibited from using anything but gold and silver, but they didn't say what they was going to use if there wasn't any gold and silver. Then you go back to the federal, and it says simply that Congress shall coin the money. Now, that's the very thing that most people should think about. They don't, because if you're going to coin money, now you have to think about that word coin. Now, is that a noun or a verb? And what was that supposed to mean? Now, I don't think it defined anything about what money would, could be, or would be. It was just that authority was given to the Congress.
Yep.
And so the Congress, the first thing they did, is I understand it. Well, let's back up a little bit because the first thing they did was didn't pay any attention to that at all, and they let Hamilton, who was a banker and raised by bankers. As I understand, he was an orphan to start with, you know, someplace in that area. Well, then they explained to him how banking could work, and it would be a great thing. So if we're going to do that, then if we're going to borrow money, we have to decide what money is. And I think that's what it was, when it said Congress shall coin the money. And that word can't mean coin. I mean, like you'd actually stamp the money, because it should have said so, but coin, if you use it as a verb, means they should create. So
yep.
Obviously the founding fathers believed that Congress should create the money, and that's what they've done. And I now have a guest come in. We'll talk to him for a while, and then we'll get back to where we're talking about, because he might have some questions and stuff. Okay, 917-538-8292. Do you have any questions or comments?
I just tuned in, so I wouldn't know.
Thank you for tuning in.
What? Okay, you just want to listen then.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you so much. I appreciate that. Okay, now let's go back. If Congress was to coin the money, and that means a verb, it was to create money, to make money. Okay,
yep.
So now we got to decide what they're going to do. And it doesn't say any place in the Constitution what money was or could be. So we go into the actual facts of what we know happened, that after Congress said that banks could create it, then they passed a law that said a dollar was a weight of silver and an eagle was a weight of gold. Okay, now both of those represent wealth. And it said anybody could, in the 1792 Coinage Act, anybody could find gold or silver, could make it into the mint, and they'd weigh it and assay it and stamp it into coinage. So all the coins had the equal weight and purity. Okay, so now if that's true, then later, and they did that, and it took a while for them to get it all started, but they did it. And, of course, at that time, there was not a gold or silver mine in the United States. So, you know, it was really hard to get gold and silver. So then they also later on said, well, we set up this coinage thing with the Treasury, so they would run it. And then we will set up a Bureau of Engraving and Printing in the Treasury so they could print legal documents and they could also print money. So now we have two forms of money that we can use, a coin or we can use a paper instrument. And it didn't say anything about that, what you could do other than that, but those are two things we know we did, they could do. Well, now, if the government printed them and stamped it into coinage or print the currency and spin them into circulation to pay for things that benefited everyone, for example, building the road system and things like that, well, then there would be not no debt, and you'd have lots of money for people to have without having any debt. Well, now, if you go back to what Hamilton did, he said, well, we will now have the banks create the money as interest-bearing debt, because that's what they've been doing in England for a long time, since I think from 1694 or 98, I don't remember what's right on top of my head. And so now you have two different forms of how money was created. One, money is created by the government for the benefit of the people. The other one is created by the banks for the personal profit of the banks. Now, do you think and believe that could have a huge consequences of how what kind of money we're using? Go ahead, Greg.
Well, sure. I mean, if you created it and spent it into circulation, there'd be no debt, no obligations, okay? It'd be a payment. If you lent it into circulation, now I become obligated, okay? I have to perform in a certain manner in order to get that money. And that obviously takes away my freedom potential. And quite frankly, it puts me in economic servitude to the person that created it and lent it to me.
Well, isn't it also true that if that money was created as debt, then we'd have to be in debt before we could have any money?
Yep. And that's always been my question.
Okay, so now if we're in debt before we can have any money, well, now, if that money is created as interest-bearing debt, now you're going to have to pay interest on the debt you borrow. So we'll borrow $100, for example. If you do that, then you're $100 in debt.
Yep.
Well, then, if you have to pay interest on that at 10%, you're going to have a debt of $110. Now my question is, where is this money going to come from to pay the interest? How is it going to be created?
Well, if you're creating it all that way as loans, the interest is going to have to be created as a loan also.
Okay, so now let's go back and say also money is created as coins. Now, how are those coins going to be put in circulation? Is the government going to loan the money to people so they can have the money, or is the government going to spend the money so that people can pay, the government can pay for things that everybody has to have, for example, transportation, because if you can't have transportation, you can't move goods from here to there. So that's something that you know you have to have. And there's some other things too. So now it really makes a difference. So if the coins are spent into circulation, so now you could take the coins that you got when you did something, you worked on the road or whatever, the money come into circulation in the first place, then you could use that to buy. Well, of course, you can't use that to buy the notes either, your paper money, because that's only put into circulation as a loan. So you'd have to have somebody to buy some, to borrow some of that before you could even exchange your coins for that. Isn't that true?
Yep. Yeah, it's true.
And so now, go ahead.
Well, I'm disagreeing
with
you.
So now, in order to have any kind of paper money, you've got to be in debt. Now, I was on the internet with a guy, and he said in England right now it says that there are banknotes, promise to pay gold, and now it don't say that. It's just a promise to pay you paper, I guess. And I know in the United States we have currency that says Federal Reserve notes. Well, if it's a note, a monetary note, it has to be something you owe.
Right.
Well, if you have money that is something the bank owes you, how could they ever give you anything in the first place if they still owe you? For example, I promise to pay you a shovel, but I never give you the shovel. I say that you can come get the shovel, I guess, if you want, but I'm not giving you the shovel now. Could you ever use that shovel to dig a hole?
If you have a good imagination.
In other words, if you used your hand and believed it was a shovel, you could probably dig the hole, okay?
Well, it works. Like,
so now,
like
if you go ahead.
Well, it works just like the medium of exchange now. We think we got something and we use it. And,
now we do have something. We have some numbers.
Yeah.
But those numbers aren't created as anything but a promise to pay. So basically, it's not like that they was created and paid. So that means that it's something that somebody still owes you to have the money. So now if you go borrow $100 and the banks put that in your checking account as $100 of what they owe you, now basically what you're doing with paying interest, you're paying interest on something you never got.
Yes.
Now, who would benefit the most by that?
Well, the money creator.
Okay, now the money creator is basically always has been in this country the banks, correct?
Yep. Supposed to be the government, but the government farmed out their authority to do it, which they didn't have the authority to do in the first place. And now the banking industry does. You know, where you're talking about the free coinage, when they brought the gold or silver into the mint, this is a way to assay and stamp it into coins free of charge. In other words, our government did its duty to monetize the production of the people as a wealth to them. And the producer who brought the raw resource into the mint now took that raw resource in coin form, uniform coin, and traded them into circulation with no debt to himself or anyone else. And we could have commerce without having to be in debt. But now the way it works is all the money is created by the private banking industry. And whatever it is they're loaning us doesn't really matter because we're still in debt to get it. And that's a complete different principle than the one that was intended if we were to be a free people and a free and prosperous nation and promote tranquility. You know.
So then the difference between a debt-based money and a wealth-based money is in order to have a debt-based money, you must be in debt.
Yep, or somebody has to be. Like the lady that called in, you know, if she borrowed $100 and then she spent it and then I got it, I'd have the money, but she'd still have the debt. And then if I kept the money and the time comes she had to pay back her $100, it wouldn't be there for her to get. And that begs the question, too, and, you know, how do we save in a debt money system when whatever it is we're saving, the debt on it grows with time? So, again,
because as soon as she borrowed that money, if it's created as loaned interest, then she's going to have to not give only back what she's got. She's going to also have to give more back than she got.
Right. And, you know, remember years ago we talked about the fact that there's some other things involved here that can create some problems. Because, like, in this case, if she just borrowed $100 at no interest and she's spending in the economy, she still has to get it all back at a certain time. And let's say she only is able to get $90 back or $99 back when that loan comes due, and she can only get $99 because I still have a dollar in my savings account, she's going to default on that loan. So there's some other elements.
She has to default.
Yep. And so even without interest, interest just makes things that much worse. But, you know, there's a timing.
Okay, now if she defaults on that, what happens then?
Well, then the money creator, the person that created the money and lent it to her in the first place, is going to get whatever she put up for collateral to get the loan.
So now on a debt-based money system, you guarantee that the banks always get everything. Even if you can't pay back the money, then they get to take all your wages or all your property or whatever you put up as collateral to have the loan.
Yep.
Okay, so now if you go to a wealth-based money system where the government spends the money into circulation without debt to anyone, mm-hmm. Now there's two things that has to happen there. First place, now there's money out in circulation that's not owed by anybody and has no interest on it. It also means that the government don't need near as much tax money because they're going to create the money to pay for a lot of things that everybody needs, roads and maybe a water system and things like that you basically cannot live without. That will then be all out there for people to have and use without having any debt whatsoever, and also for no taxation. Is that not true?
That's true, and then people would also find that they'd be able to save, you know, to have a surplus over time, which would be good, so that that way, if something happened in their life that on a rainy day or something unexpected happened, they'd have money put away that they could use to pay for that. And we don't have that ability.
And they could have that money put away because nobody else would need it to pay their debts, right?
Yep, but wouldn't hurt anybody else to have money in savings. And of course, if you didn't have the interest cost, the unpayable interest cost being added to the economy, the cost of goods and services all the time, over time, along with having more money in savings, the cost of living would remain stable over long periods of time. So, you know, the ability to save would increase, and, you know, because your cost of living would be down. And the other thing is, the cost of goods and services came down, your paycheck that you earn now, there wouldn't be as much money taken out for taxes for social health programs. So you would actually receive more take-home pay than you are now without working any more hours or without changing anything you do. You'd just take home pay.
About 30% is the way I figured it.
Well,
okay,
you know,
now, in other words, now this interest is going to have a lot of impact on a lot of things then, because if the interest is, and so now the debt's growing, even though there's no more money put in circulation as loans, the debt is still growing because the interest it's not paid, it's growing and you have to pay it later. So now
right.
The debt is constantly growing in a debt-based money system, but the money supply is not growing near as fast. Does that make sense to you? And that seems to be true, doesn't it?
Sure, because right now in 2019, and if the information we get is correct, and the U.S. Treasury report that we got a couple of weeks ago, it's quite lengthy document, but it pretty much says that the total American debt, national and private debt, is about $75 trillion. Yet the total money supply, if you look at it on what we can take and make liquid is between 4 and 14 trillion, but it's all a debt too. So how do you pay $75 trillion in debt with 4 to 14 trillion dollars in money? And then if you apply all the money, every penny to that debt, you're going to have no money, because when you repay that money, it's extinguished, doesn't exist anymore. And you're still going to have remaining debt that is growing with time. And pretty silly, pretty ridiculous. There's a number of other
Well, now let's think about that, because when I first got interested in this, I was taking a course in accounting. And I asked the teacher, well, how do the banks do their accounting? He says, I don't know, but I know it's not the same as I'm teaching you. So he said, but my wife is in banking, and when I get home and I come back, I'll explain to you what she told me. So he comes back and he says, well, this is what my wife told me as a banker, that when you borrow the money, that, you know, you have so much debt, and then the interest kicks in, and then the debt grows. And when you borrow that money, it's put on the books as a liability to you. In other words, it's something you owe. And then it's put on the books of the bank as an asset, because it's something you owe them, and in the future they'll get it, so they put it on as an asset. Okay, so then on the other side, when they make the loan, the Federal Reserve Purpose and Function book says, well, that money is created when the banks add to your checking account what they owe you. And see, that's like the Federal Reserve notes. It's not actually anything. It's something they promise to pay you in the future. Okay, so now they put those numbers in your checking account, and you have those numbers, and you then can go out and spend them. But at the same time, your debt is constantly growing as the debt grows. Now, what kind of a consequences would that have on the whole society in time?
Well, it would create a lot of contention and chaos and arguing and fussing and bickering like you see right now, all not only in America but across the world, a lot of unhappiness. And you can take it beyond that, a lot of harm and hardship and people trying to achieve something that's not achievable except for a very few at the expense of many others.
Well, wouldn't it also raise your cost to doing business all the time? Because if you borrowed, we'll say, $100,000 to get into business and do things and at one thing or another, well, then as you had to pay that interest, now you would have cost, even if you didn't pay it, if you just kept using it and only paid the interest, now wouldn't your cost go up? We'll say if it's 10%, wouldn't your cost to automatically go up 10% more than it would if you'd have got that money from, say, your grandparents or somebody who'd earned money and saved it for you? And because there was no debt there, they didn't have to worry about this growing debt. So now all of a sudden you'd have this huge cost of doing business that you wouldn't have if you had your money based on wealth.
Right. And, you know, so what happens is that me and the borrower of the $100,000, I just add the cost of that interest to the things that I sell, and that increases the prices of the things that I sell.
Now, two things have to happen there, because now your cost of business is constantly going up, and also the ability to buy your product has to be getting tougher, because your costs are going up, and everybody else's cost is going up too, because everybody has to borrow that. Well, now, I talked to people in England that they did a lot of research on this, and they said that the interest is about 60% of the cost of everything. Now, couldn't you see how that would always constantly increase the price on everything?
Well, sure, and that's what's happening, and everybody sees it. And we call it, at Wealth Money Radio, we talk about it as the spread between the money supply and the cost of living, which include all the interest costs, which is not money. And so over time, and you've seen it, and people have talked about it, how money doesn't buy what it used to buy. You know, it doesn't buy as much. And that's the result of adding the unpayable cost of interest to everything. It reduces the purchasing power of the money, and it creates constant and ongoing shortages of money. And that's clearly what we see out there.
Okay, now let's go back, because I was on the internet with a young guy from England, apparently, and he said, well, it don't work that way. The money that the banks loan is somebody else's money.
Yeah.
Now, I asked him where did that money come from? And he said, well, earlier, there was a lot of people using trade items, you know, like we talked about, you know, right in the beginning. Well, you know, things that I might raise that I might trade for something else. Okay, now, if that's not being used anymore, then you couldn't have any money system anymore. Was that correct? Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay, so now how could the money that the bank uses that somebody else had, because when I asked him where that money come from, he said, well, it came from when that was money. But we're not using any of that anymore, so that money can't exist because we're not using it for money anymore. So when I ask him, okay, then how does that work? And, of course, he don't know how to answer. And this is what I find we have the biggest problem of all. Everybody's always trying to figure out why they have problems. And they want to change the whole form of government, you know, to a social government, to a democracy, to a democratic socialism, to communism, whatever they want to say. But they never seem to stop and question, well, just exactly how did we get in this situation? And why do we all owe? And why isn't there enough money for everybody? And yet they never seem to do that. And this guy said that he got all his information from some economist. Now, my personal experience has been most economists only tell you what the bankers want you to know, not about how it actually works. Well, when I started studying this, one of the first things I did was write to the Treasury and ask them exactly how money system works. And they wrote back to me and said, the actual creation of money always involves an extension of credit by a private commercial bank, which clearly means that there is no money created unless it's created by a bank who loans the money into circulation. So now, if you would start thinking about that and the consequences of that, don't you think it would be a lot easier to find the answer to all these questions instead of always trying to somehow change the form of government? Why don't we just go back and try to live under the rules and regulations they put in the Constitution, the Founding Fathers did, so we could have a better country?
Yep. That's a good question. You know, people are just in.
Are you still there, Greg? Did I miss you?
Yeah.
Okay. You go ahead a second. I'm trying to find something here.
Yeah. That's fine. It's a good question, and I don't know why people don't ask themselves, you know, what's causing all these money problems. Or, you know, everybody out there seems to go to work and do things for other people and get paid, but it just seems like it isn't working. And, you know, in one of the books.
Well, the question is, again, and they all see that, and I just saw online that Bernie Sanders is going to go talk to the Walmart people because the people who own Walmart, and I don't think they own it. I think it's also a corporation. I'm not sure. I'm not going to argue that with anybody. But because employees get paid so little, but the head of the corporations and the owner of these big things, they get just super rich, and he wants them to share it. But you know, why don't we go back to the Constitution and says, here's the reason that we founded the Constitution. Because we, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, not one that keeps getting worse and worse, but a more perfect, to establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, and promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do obtain and establish this Constitution of the United States of America. Well, why don't people say, well, why don't we try that one time? And you can't, if you're going to have those things, you cannot have a system where money is created as debt. Yet that subject never seems to come up in any discussions you have with people trying to explain the money to them. Mm-hmm. Have you ever had them come up and say, well, that just, well, that's the best way to work? It'd be being dead all the time and not be
no.
able to get out of it? That is something that really we need to have a good society and a moral society and a society where we all somehow seem to share the same benefits of our work, our labor, that somebody up at the top only makes decisions and they get up to 1,000 times more than the guy that does the actual work, that actually does those things. Well, now, how did we get to that kind of a concept? And why isn't that people talk about there must be something wrong with that kind of a concept?
Well, I don't know. You know, there's a lot of examples out there where people don't like debt. You know, you've got radio shows that always come on telling you about how to get rid of debt and get out of debt. You got TV commercials coming on all the time. If you got so much debt, you give us a call. We'll help you get out of debt. And you just, you know, like get rid of that debt. And boy, that's just no good. But it seems like that's what we...
Well, those people do that,
yeah.
But how come they never explain where the debt comes from? And who's got enough money to loan everybody that much money? Where did they get
it? Most of them, they don't talk about that because their main concern is just capturing some more loan principal. They're running a business and they're trying to be profitable, and they really don't care about that. And not that they don't care, they don't know about it, just don't think about it. Because in America, the main thing is if you're out trying to get some money, you're doing a very virtuous thing. I mean, no matter what you're doing, as long as you're out there being productive and trying to capture as much loan principal as possible, that's all you need to think about.
Well, then obviously that can't be the answer to what all our problems was by saying, well, we're not going to address those things. And you see it all the time nowadays. I mean, the whole thing is, you know, whether we're going to have a new communist or socialist government, or we're going to have what they call a capitalist system. And, you know, I'm sorry, but if I look it up in the dictionary, capitalism says that people themselves own all the capital. Well, see, that's not what we have in this country, and that's what we have and not have in any country. Because when you have money created as a debt for the benefit of a small group that can do that, and nobody else can, then you can't possibly have any kind of a true system that benefits everyone. So why don't we go back and find out why our Constitution isn't being worked? It doesn't work, and those principles don't work, when we know it takes only common sense to see that they should be working. And
well,
this is a thing that somehow we've got to get across to people. You're looking in the wrong places to the answer to all your problems.
Well, let me kind of take a little sidebar on it because you reminded me of something, you know, these different kind of governments that Americans want. Actual citizens of America willing to go away from our constitutional republic, our legal form of government, the only form of government that America can have, to socialism, communism, Marxism, liberalism, democracy, pick their favorite, okay? If we have other Americans who want to do that, let me say on this Memorial weekend, then what you're doing, and I want, if there's any veterans listening, check it out. You know, they are simply saying all those who went before, who were supposedly trying to protect our American form of government, it was all in vain, was foolishness, and we shouldn't even have a Memorial Weekend because what they did wasn't worth a crap, because we got a whole bunch of other American citizens out there that want to change our form of government, just like those people we went to war against. What a waste of time and energy and sacrifice if you Americans are going to allow socialism, Marxism, communism, liberalism, democracy, whatever you want, pick, take your pick, to replace our constitutional form of government. All those that went before did what they did in vain. Is that where you want to be? Is that where we want to be? Or do we actually want to be fighting, serving, to preserve, protect, and defend something that was supposed to be? I'm just so disgusted with these other Americans out there. They know it all Americans, Anyway, so there you go.
What in the Constitution does it say that we're supposed to be the policemen of the world?
Yep, absolutely. We're supposed to police what we have, our constitutional form of government. We're supposed to have equality under the law. Supposed to have a separation of powers. We're supposed, it goes on and on. Read the Constitution. It will tell you what we're supposed to have. And among those, we believed in our Declaration of Independence that we had certain God-given unalienable rights to life, the first one, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. That's the kind of government or country we're supposed to have. And any of you out there that think you want to change it to whatever else, you're as big of an enemy as any we've ever fought, period.
And not only that, but, you know, if we're going to do these things, well, then why don't we look at what the real problem is and ask about, well, how's our money created? And nobody does. I have asked a lot of people in the last couple of 3 months, just how is money created? Where does it come from and how does it get in circulation? I never have found a single person that's even ever given a thought before.
Yep. Most of them.
How come these colleges that are supposed to be teaching us to be so smart, how come they don't teach us about why we have a monetary problem?
They just
teach exactly the opposite.
They just want to teach you how to get a job so you can capture more loan principal. That's their promise. You come in, we're going to teach you how to get a great, high-paying job. And that's all that it's about. They don't care about anything else because they also get the money from the...
Well, it must not be about that because most of them can't find those kind of jobs.
Well, sure. It's education is a big business. Doesn't mean it has to be honest.
Oh, I thought the whole concept was to be honest. I thought we started out a long time ago with kind of a Christian type thing, which, in other words, we shouldn't do to other people what we wouldn't want them to do to us, which is basically the whole concept of it. Well, then how come nobody cares about or even asks? Now, I've been doing quite a little bit of reading lately about investment bankers and investment, hedge funds and things like that. Well, it seems to me like all those people get really rich that's doing that, but the rest of the people don't. So they must not be investing in something very good, and they must be taking almost all the profit. I had a guy call me one time, and he said, well, I was going to invest some money once, and I did for quite over a period of time, and I never lost a single dollar, but I never got any really ahead either. Because if those guys that run them are taking all the profits and not giving it to anybody else, and they have to be doing that, or they couldn't get so rich doing that kind of a business. And yet nobody ever questions any of these things. So it must be true that once you own all the money, and a letter from the Treasury said you may want to know who gets the benefit of the banks creating the money, the banks do, because they own all the money all the time, and the rest of us simply borrow it and pay interest on it. Well, now, how could they not be in total control of everything? Because if you want to shut somebody down, you just shut down their credit rating, and out of business they go. You see it over and over again.
This is
and
what
yet nobody ever asked those kind of questions?
Well, people need to see for what the fact of the matter is. We no longer have governmental law. We have economic rule. And, you know, it's they decide. It's just like, you know, hey, let's say we want to have we got to go to war with somebody, let's say, because they're threatening our freedom, okay? If the people aren't willing to pay enough in taxes, that's the money that they borrowed, then the government simply goes to the bank and asks them if they'll create the money to have a war. And, of course, if they say yes, then we can have a war. If they say no, then we can't have a war. And if you watch hearings on TV of your Congress, your leadership in Congress, when they get in and talk to especially the Federal Reserve and the Secretary, the Treasury people, they just sit there with their mouths open, yeah, and they take in everything that they're hearing, and they don't want to ask any questions because they're afraid of being intimidated that they don't know anything about money. So they just leave it up to those folks that know, the economists and the bankers and the Treasury and those people. And then they have to borrow money too, your Congress, all the time. Where are they going to get the money for this? Where are they going to get the money for that? You know, we're going to bond. You know, so it's, you know, they can't do anything unless they have money. We can't do anything unless we have money, but we can't have the money unless we go belly up to someone who has nothing except the ability, like you or I, to create numbers. And then they create the numbers and put them in our checking account or put them in the government's checking account, and they write checks against the numbers and put new money into circulation that never existed before. And the way that should work is our Treasury should create the numbers, spend them into circulation instead of taxing or borrowing to build the roads that Congress is supposed to build under our Constitution. And that money would go into circulation, no debt. You wouldn't have to tax. You wouldn't have to borrow to build these roads. And besides having safe, state-of-the-art roads and all that, the employment and everything wonderful that would happen with that, you wouldn't have to hear about how are we going to fund the infrastructure anymore. Don't you get a little sick of hearing that? That'd be a big benefit. You wouldn't have to hear about it anymore. So there you go.
Well, not only that, who in the world can have enough money to loan that much money to everybody and at the same time put millions of dollars into campaigns every other year or every 4 years if you're a congressman? Where in the world do these guys get that much money to do that year after year, you know, time after time after time? And every year it gets bigger. You have to raise more and more money in order to run a campaign. And who in the world can have that much money to do that year after year or every other year after year or the other year? And how come nobody ever questions where they get all their money? And yet they're always talking about the average person who used to be in the middle class, which we don't have anymore. Now we just have the upper rich class and the basically poor people are almost poor. Because if you're working at a job that's $15 an hour, you don't have enough money to live on that. You don't earn enough money working 5 days a week. You haven't been able to earn enough money to actually pay for what your living expenses are. You got to have two or three people in the same family putting the same money in and hoping then they can make it. And yet nobody ever questions these things or even ask about anything like that.
You know, I think
it has to be because somebody someplace is trying to make dang sure they never, ever get anybody just talking about how the monetary system really works. And they go to an economist like MMT, and I guess you believe that we had the other day Donut something, and they only go by what they say. They've never tried to contact anybody else. We have spent time actually contacting and writing back and forth with the United States Treasury, the Library of Congress, and other places like that, and reading Federal Reserve purposes and function books, that they don't say that at all. They say the banks create the money, and the banks get the benefit. And yet somehow that never gets out in our education system any place.
Yep.
And it's about time people wake up and start thinking for themselves. And, you know, it's so clear that this guy was cutting it. Once I started asking, I never said a thing. I just asked him questions. And pretty quick, he don't want to answer the questions anymore. And the only reason for that can be that he don't have the answers.
Well, and that's why he was also invited to be on the show, because quite frankly, I like talking on the show a lot more than I do emails back and forth. But he was invited to be on the show. Come in and talk about your thoughts and your ideas, and but he didn't show up. So, you know, I just think if somebody's sincere, they'll show up. If they're not sincere, or if they're not secure in what they're thinking, they probably won't show up. But, you know, the other thing you're talking about is how come nobody ever asks what the problem is. And I think, you know, as people see things getting more contentious and arguing and fussing and things not working and everything, is that they've just reserved themselves to thinking that if I can get enough money, I can have my own security regardless of how bad things get. And quite frankly, that's a false narrative. Because sooner or later...
Well, that's what they tell us all the time. These guys write and put it out. And, well, you know, this, I just read one this morning. Well, this whole system's going to collapse. But if you pay attention to me and do what I tell you, then you won't be one of them that get hurt. Everybody else will get hurt but you and me and whoever uses this thing. And you, I have no idea what they mean by a collapse. When I look up the word collapse in a dictionary, it pretty well all gets destroyed. It just goes to nothing. Well, and we had a guy on the show that agreed with this, but he said there's nothing you can do but just set it back and drink beer until it collapses, and then we can do something. And after it collapsed, what are you going to have to do anything with?
Yeah. And those are true.
This is why I'm convinced our biggest enemy is not only the banks, but the school systems that they also control, and they refuse to teach the truth of anything.
And isn't it
if
funny
they did,
that you have
they
it?
Would be talking about how the monetary system works and how it affects your life. But they talk about all these student loans that they owe from $20,000 to $100,000 in debt just to get a degree.
Yep.
And then they can't find a job that will pay them enough money to ever get out of debt. And nobody even questions there's something wrong with that?
Especially the students themselves don't question it, which is really ironic because they got all the debt from getting this higher education, but they don't know anything about money. And to me, I don't know how to describe that, how ridiculous that is. But maybe that's what they got coming for just not thinking about what's going on. They deserve to have the debt and not know anything.
Well, I guess, but see, even the people that talk about it say never want to address this. And I'm going to have a little place here where you can buy a book, obtain a book that will give you a lot of information on this, not by it from written by an economist, but
you
written by somebody who spent years studying the monetary system through the banking system,
works,
or through the treasury.
Who it benefits, and why there is so much suffering. And have you ever wondered what exactly a dollar is? To find these answers and a whole lot more, pick up a copy of Modern Money Secrets by Byron Day.
Your commercial stuff.
What?
Commercial stuff.
Oh, we'll have to see what happened here. Well, I guess they took us off the air, Greg.
Huh.
I can't do it any way, shape, or form.
Huh.
We'll talk to you next week.
Normally, we'd have another half hour at least if we wanted it.
Well, we should have, but... Okay. Okay, let me try it. Well, somehow we're shut.
You want a better understanding of our monetary system? Want to know how it works, who it benefits, and why there is so much suffering? And Have you ever wondered what exactly a dollar is? To find these answers and a whole lot more, pick up a copy of Modern Money Secrets by Byron Dale and Greg Soderberg. Available at our website, and now available on Amazon. The book takes the reader through our monetary system foundation and history, and then explains, in simple language, why our debt-based money system is flawed. Discover why an individual can get out of debt, but why collectively, we cannot. Why not order your copy of Modern Money Secrets today? Just visit our website for instructions, or order the book right now on Amazon. That's Modern Money Secrets by Byron Dale and Greg Soderberg. Because how our monetary system works shouldn't be a secret.
So there you go. It's Modern Money Secrets. You can order it online at wealthmoney.org. So are you still
okay.
there, Byron?
Yeah, I think I am. Are you?
Yep.
Hello?
I'm here. Yep.
Okay.
I'm here.
Yeah, okay. I don't know what happened, but I must have bumped something. But we got it going now. And, you know, this is the thing. Somehow we've got to get people to actually think about why. I mean, the problem is, too, we have a press that will not cover anything like this because they're owned by the same people, too. I mean, I've read here a while back the Chicago people owed millions to the banking system. Well, do you think they're going to say something like this? No, they're not going to do that. And this is the reason we have the problems, because of the total control that the banking system had, because everybody owes them.
Yep.
And
that's just another example of Chicago, the debt that they owe the banks. It's another example of economic servitude. They cannot do or say the right thing for fear of financial loss. And, you know, we can change all that by simply having the money created and spent in circulation, not just for anything, but for a payment, an earned payment for something we produce that we all benefit from equally. And, you know, some of the things in the Constitution probably were well thought out, and Congress was supposed to provide post offices and post roads. They didn't call them superhighways back then because there wasn't no superhighways. They called them what they were. But today, if they wrote it, they'd say our roads, and spend the money in the circulation, and then slowly stop the creation of all money as debts, and eventually you'd have the system converted to a wealth money system where the money is not accruing interest just because it exists, okay? And we could have savings without hurting someone else, and you wouldn't have what we have today, Americans pitted against each other in an ongoing effort to achieve the impossible, which is liberty and justice for all, because you can't have it when the foundation, the very foundation of our society, is built on fraud, deceit, and inequality. So the bill is called the American Transportation Act. It's online at wealthmoney.org. Why don't you go read it? Why don't you print a copy? Why don't you save a PDF file of it so you can send it to your congressmen and your senators and tell them to support and sponsor this legislation and get it done? Because if you want to have the benefits, it doesn't make any sense to wait for 5 years from now to benefit. If we pass the bill this week or next week, you'd start experiencing the benefit right away, right at the gas pump. You wouldn't have about, 60 cents in taxes on your gasoline, 60 cents a gallon would go down. I know that would tickle you pink, because when it goes down just a penny or two, everybody talks about it. But that's just one of the benefits. And then, of course, UPS, FedEx, all the transportation companies that are paying taxes on their fuel they wouldn't pass that on to you in the cost of goods and services. So, you know, your freight charges would be down, and therefore the cost of goods and services on the shelf would be down. So there you go. Just with the money that you're earning today, you'd be able to buy more things. And if you didn't want to buy more things,
well,
you could save some money.
And if the debt was taken out, well, then the total cost of everything would go down. And, of course,
sure,
let's be honest, if the bankers have to keep raising the price and want the price of everything to go up because there's no other way they could have supposedly enough collateral to make a loan. Can
mm-hmm.
you imagine if cars were down to $1,000 again? How could – I mean, come on. That wouldn't be enough collateral for a $10,000, $20,000 loan.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's so obviously, if the people would just stop and think and quit listening to people that's lying to them, like this guy that we was in contact with, it was clear he had no knowledge of what he was talking about, but he had read it, an economist book or something, and then he'd wrote a book himself, I guess. I don't know what mm-hmm. that book could say that made any sense, because he sure in the world can't talk like he understood anything.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's even that they don't even apply common sense. Because if you can tell me that, well, we used to have money because it was things that we used to barter with. Well, if we don't them anymore, that money couldn't still be there for the banks to loan or to
right.
do anything with. And yet, why would anybody put their money in the bank for the bank to loan somebody else for a profit when you didn't get the profit yourself from your own savings?
Yeah.
And I asked him, well, is that only based on saving? Is it based on money in your checking account? And of course, he didn't answer that one either. And it's amazing how all these guys, they tell you a lot of things, and then when you go on Facebook and say, okay, explain that to me. I want to know what you're saying. And you can't believe how many of them won't even do that. They will not give you an answer if you just – they either want you to argue with what they're saying, but they don't want to explain in simple words what you're saying. And
well,
we always talk about capitalism all the time. And if you look up in the dictionary, we don't have capitalism in this state, any way, shape, or form. Because the people should have all these assets and use it for their benefit, not all owned by the banking system and the people who do business with them that they'll loan all the money they want, like corporations, because they can't hardly fail. All they do is give them a little loan. And it's insane that people won't stop and think. Just think and ask questions about it. Could this, what you're saying, actually be true?
Well, and the other thing I want to get in here, you know, is especially for those people that are exceptionally concerned about our environment, our water, our air, pollution, and stuff like that. You should be interested in the American Transportation Act. With the American Transportation Act, if we create the money and spend it in to build these roads and bridges, we'll be able to build these roads with solar systems built right into the roads to light the roads, to provide energy, to power our rest stops at our interstates. We'll be able to build water drainage systems in the road and purification systems, so all that runoff. And runoff off of roads is the biggest polluter of our water. Okay, we'd be able to clean that water up before it went back into the water table. And we would provide, just think about it, the people that have to create the parts for all these systems, people that need to design them and install them and maintain them, and all this would help us have a better environment, too. So if you're concerned about the environment at all, maybe you're not even concerned about the money, but if you're concerned about the environment at all, you need to get a copy of the American Transportation Act and read it and understand how we could build these roads to produce not only all the other benefits, but to produce a better environment for all of us. So check it out.
And not only that, I took a trip recently and drove quite a way to where my wife's mother is in Washington in a home. And, man, I'll tell you, you can't believe how much wind every truck throws by when it goes by. Well, you know, if they put little pillars down there and connect and have that generate electricity instead of building them great big things that it's so hard. They're so heavy, them wings out there, that they can't even hardly keep them oiled, hard to keep them running. And you've had some personal experience with that, haven't you, Greg, talking to those guys and how hard it is to keep those big pillars lubricated?
Oh, yeah, because there's so much vibration and pressure and heat, and it's one of their big problems in the industry.
And, you know, they got to be heavy as thunder, as big as they are. I don't care what they're made of. And you could do away with all that, and then you could just have it right there that you could take care of when all the roads went by. And you could have that if the sun didn't shine for the solar on that road, well, the wind would still be going regardless whether the wind was going or not, because the trucks would make the wind. Not that we don't have a lot of wind all the time, but you could do that, and it wouldn't cost near as much, and it wouldn't have near as much stress to make them run as what those things do. But it's somehow strange that nobody can think of these simple little things. It's obvious if you just pay attention. Stand beside the road sometime and let a truck go by and see how much wind you get. But somehow they can't seem that you could turn that into electricity really simple with hardly any cost. A lot less than anyway, building them other things.
Well, once you had the money created to do these roads, you know, we would be able to do more of the things we know how to do but haven't been able to afford to do. And as far as the one big area that they need help with is how to store the wind and or the solar so that it can be used later instead of just having to be used when it's created. And we would solve those problems too. I think a week or two ago we had the same analogy with computers. You know, when IBM created their first computer, I think they called it Big Blue, and it was huge, you know, like the size of a single car garage or something like that. And it really couldn't do much. It could do some simple little things. But over time, as they worked in that industry, look at what you have now. You have a cell phone like the one I'm talking on. It's basically a little computer. And it ain't anywhere near the size of a single car garage. And it performs so many more functions. The same thing would happen with the energy industry. We would figure out how to store the energy and store it in a lot smaller containers, if you want to call it that, than they're thinking of now. And this is a problem, but we just haven't had the money to do it. And just think about the jobs that would create and good paying jobs and the benefit we would all get from it, you know, the safety. You know, the bridges, they wouldn't collapse. The roads wouldn't blow up like they did this last winter. My gosh, even in the parking lots, it was over at the Walmart parking lot there, and they had the sawhorses out there over this one big area because all the tar blew up, must have been from frost or something like that. But, you know, these roads would last longer. They'd service longer. In the long run, we wouldn't have so much maintenance costs. You could heat these roads so you wouldn't have to spread salt all over them. You wouldn't have the cost of salt. You wouldn't have the cost of putting fuel in the trucks and the tires on the trucks and the wear and tear on the trucks. So there's just a whole lot of things that can happen when we create the money and spend it into circulation in a way that produces a benefit we all benefit from equally. And these roads, yeah, we need them to move products and services, but guess what? If you got to have an ambulance come out to your house, it's kind of nice to have a decent road for the ambulance to come out and take care of you. Or it's kind of nice, like when you go on a little vacation thing like Byron did, that you got a nice, smooth road, safe. You don't have to, you know, worry about wrecking your car or replacing parts on your car or safety of going off the edge of the road or what have you. I mean, and then we'd produce a whole lot of other benefits, too, just in the way we'd treat each other. We'd have a much calmer society, and we'd think about things on how to solve other problems instead of just figuring out how we're going to get some more money.
Well, you know, and another thing, if they would quit trying to figure out how to have a robot do anything so they don't have to hire anybody. I mean, And I listened to a commercial about that the other day, and they said, you know, it would just be a great thing because the companies wouldn't have so much labor cost. Well, I'm sorry, but if you don't pay people a living wage, who's going to buy the products they all wanted to sell? And somehow that they never occurs to them that that would could make a difference.
Well, it never.
And if everybody got instead of $15 an hour or 14 or 10, if they got 30, and the other guy didn't get, you know, 1,000 times the 15 or the 10, well, then they'd all be able to have a good standard of living, and they'd all be basically on the same level, not having the super rich and the poor. It could all be kind of the same for everybody. But nobody ever stops to think about any of those things. No, it's always, we're the only crazy country that wants to import all kinds of people, by the millions, and then send all the jobs overseas.
The other question they never ask, Byron, is how come the wages aren't enough to meet the cost of living? How come the cost of living keeps going up and up? And we keep trying to chase it with higher wages and higher wages. It's just an upward spiral. How come I never asked that question? Why does the cost of living keep going up? And they just never ask that. It's kind of like everything in America today. We got problems, okay? Like people want to steal your identity, they say. I guess Americans steal from each other. But, you know, we're not going to have a campaign that tells people it's criminal. We're going to prosecute you if you do that. We don't do that. No. We're not going to solve the problem. We're going to create another business that will protect your identity so we can earn a profit in doing so. But we're not going to stop the disease. We're just going to let it keep growing. And this is what we're doing in America. We don't want to solve the problem. We don't want to look at what's causing the problem and solve it. Why? Because somebody can use it to their advantage to capture some loan principal. That's how lowly we've become. That's what I think.
Well, I think that's about it for our show today. We'll be back next week, and we thank for the people who listen, and we hope that we will get them finally to understand the reissue is based in how the monetary system works, not in all the problems they're talking about every day that really is not the problem at all.
Byron and Greg want to thank you for listening to the Wealth Money Radio Show. Please visit our website at wealthmoney.org. We would appreciate your support by purchasing the books and materials. Don't just purchase the books, but study the information we have presented and tell others the truth of our debt-based system, the problems interest causes, and the slavery it promotes. Thank you for your support.